Good morning. I invite your attention to the gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. My text will be found in verse 39. My message is titled, Jesus versus Demons. There are four gospels. Matthew and John were both apostles, eyewitnesses to just about everything they wrote. Although Matthew wrote mostly of the ministry of Jesus in Galilee, and John wrote of his ministry in Judea. Luke was not an eyewitness, the only Gentile writer of Holy Scripture. But he spent much time studying Jesus. Mark, he was a young man, probably younger than the other apostles, although the other apostles were not old. And that is a misconception so often when you see pictures of the apostles and with Jesus, you know, and they're all gray-haired men, old as me. And that's not true. Jesus, when he ministered, was about 30 years of age, and so were the others. Peter was probably a little older than the others, but these were young men. Old men do not go walking around 40 to 50 miles a day like Jesus did. These were men full of vim and vigor. Mark was even younger, and later in his life became a minister unto Peter in Peter's old age. Mark was undoubtedly an eyewitness to some of the events in the life of Jesus, but he probably got a big part of his gospel from Peter, for which reason the gospel according to Mark is sometimes called the gospel according to Peter. But we're looking at this first chapter in Mark's gospel, and we find, I'm just going to read from verse number 1, because much of what I'm going to read is going to tie in directly with my message. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, the Old Testament, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." The voice of one crying in the wilderness, this is John the Baptist, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Notice he came from Nazareth of Galilee, down to the wilderness of Judea, probably walked about 40 miles just to be baptized. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. In the Jordan he had his baptism of water, and in the wilderness he had his baptism of fire. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, the city of Nahum, on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus spent much time in Capernaum. They lived in a house in that town. And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue. There was no church, had not been started yet. And so Jesus, as was his custom every Sabbath day, because he was under the law, went to the synagogue to worship. And he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, that is, the demon, said, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn the man and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue there, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's mother, he would be Peter, Simon Peter's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto to them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the that's a remarkable statement. They knew who he was, so he says, you cannot tell anybody. Jesus was not one who sought publicity. Jesus was not one who bragged on himself. Jesus did not want you bragging on him. He would heal you and say, now do not go tell anybody. He tells this to the demons because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And here's my text. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. He cast out devils throughout all Galilee. Jesus made 3 preaching tours during his 3 years of ministry on this earth. 3.5 years, but 3 preaching tours in Galilee, going from place to place. He would go to the synagogue because he was a Jew. He was under the law and he was required to be during the Sabbath service. He would be in the synagogue, and whatever village he was visiting, that's where you would find him on the Sabbath day, in the synagogue. His fame had gone out and people would ask him to teach, and he would gladly oblige him, and he taught in the synagogue. And then we find this statement that he was casting out devils, actually demons. Our English word demon, it actually anglicizes the Greek word daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N, daimon. Now, this Greek word daimon appears many times in various forms in the New Testament, and unhappily, I must say, it is translated devils. In reality, there is only one devil, the devil, who is Satan, but he's got many demons, many demons. An untold number of demons. We're going to consider today these demons. And Jesus in his ministry versus the demons. The New Testament teaches us these facts regarding demons, quickly, 15 of them. Demons are Satan's angels. An angel is quite simply a messenger or a ministering spirit. God has his angels and Satan has his angels or ministers. And then demons are unclean and evil spirits, unholy, wicked, malevolent. Not a good ounce in the whole lot of them. Demons are distinct from elect angels is the third aspect. You'll read of 2 different sorts of angels in the New Testament. There are elect angels and fallen angels. And the elect angels were chosen of God before the foundation of the world, like God's children were. They will never fall. The non-elect angels, they fail. Because if you are not one of God's elect, you will fall and ultimately and never be recoverable. So it is with demons. Now, I speak of fallen angels. Let me make this point, and it is number 4. Demons and Satan were not created by God. I did not misspeak. Demons and Satan were not created by God. Rather, God created angels who became Satan and his demons when they fell. When did they fall? We're not told. The angels were present during part of the creation because the book of Job tells us, Job 38:7, that the morning stars sang during the creation. And we do know that they were not created as Satan and the demons, because on the 7th day of creation, God looked upon everything that he had made and he said, it's good. It is good. There is not a sin. There is no imperfection in anything I have made. So there was no devil and there were no demons on the 7th day of creation. But a very short time after that, the serpent tempted Eve. Now, where'd he come from? He's one of the angels of God who fell. That would be Satan. And along with him fell many others as well. The circumstance of their fall were not really told, and many people have taken certain passages of Scripture and tried to force it in, but we're just not told. They fell. God did not create them. Everything God created was good, and they became wicked and malevolent. Five demons are active in all idolatry and in all worship, contrary to Christ. Six, demons reside in spiritual Babylon, which is anti-Christian seduction. Seven, demons wander in dry places, figurative places described with three D's, disorder, desolation, and death. Eight, demons disseminate errors among men and endeavor to seduce believers. Nine, demons have taken possession of people in such a way as to control their actions. 10, demons have afflicted people with physical disorders, including deafness and muteness, epilepsy, spinal deformation, insanity. 11, demons could speak through the mouths of the persons they possessed. 12, while no demon is good, some are more wicked than others. 13, false doctrine being contrary to wisdom descending from God above is earthly, sensual, demonic, James 3:15. 14, demons will gather the ungodly to make war against God and His Christ at the final battle at the end of this age. And 15, demons will have their final destination in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now that is a brief description of demons, and the scripture references are there. You can look them up later on. Today, I want us to look at this subject of what happened when demons met Jesus. Well, actually, what happened when Jesus invaded their territory? He went to them. They were not going to come to him. He went to them throughout all Galilee. So we're going to consider 7 points quickly this morning. Demons believe the truth regarding God with trembling. Second, demons acknowledge Jesus as whom and what he is. Third, demons acknowledge Jesus as their superior. Fourth, Jesus casting out demons was proof that he had established his kingdom on earth. Fifth, Jesus conquered demons in his ascension into glory. Sixth, Jesus now rules over demons. And seventh, Jesus will be the final judge and executioner of demons. Now consider that first point. Demons believe the truth regarding God with trembling. James says to mortals, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Now James in his second chapter talks about two different kinds of faith. First, there's saving faith. Saving faith will trust in God for salvation and will manifest itself in justifying works. If a person believes with saving faith, you'll see it in their life. Was not Abraham our father justified when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Was not Rahab the harlot justified? Did she not believe God with saving faith when she hid the spies? That's saving faith. It shows up in the way you act. Then there is historical faith. Historical faith believes facts about God. And it does not manifest itself in justifying works. Men and women may know very, very, very much about God. You can read theology books. You can study the doctrine of God. You can memorize everything that's in there, but that doesn't mean it's going to make a difference in your life. Demons have that kind of knowledge. Demons know more about God than you do, because they've been around him now for a few thousand years. They believe in God and tremble and tremble, scared. That's the faith most men have of God. They believe there is a God. They believe maybe that there is only one true God, but they do not trust in him. And like demons, they tremble because they know the consequence that is coming someday. Let there be no one here today who believes in God the way that a demon does. Believes facts and figures about him, but does not trust in him and lives your life to please the world. That's the way demons believe. Let there be none like that among us today. Second, demons acknowledge Jesus as whom and what he is. There is a reason for that. They know the truth about God. They know the same about Jesus because they know Jesus is God. Demons have better sense than most theological people nowadays. They know Jesus is God. They know God and they know Jesus. When Jesus, and you saw it here in the passage, when Jesus showed up, he did not have to introduce himself. Demons said, I know who you are. I know who you are. Did you notice that in the passage? Jesus said, do not tell anybody who I am because you know me. Demons, when he showed up, they said, I know who you are. Yeah, they knew. Jesus never had to introduce himself to a demon. Men may not have known him, but the demons did. I know who you are. Well, who am I? Well, first of all, I know who you are. You are Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. They knew that he had been raised in that place. They had watched him grow up. They kept an eye on him. They knew why he had come. Keep your friends close and keep your enemies even closer. Yeah, they stayed close. They watched him. And when he would go around Galilee, I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. They probably knew of the denigration that was given to that place, Nazareth. As when Nathanael said to Philip, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip had said, come, I need to show you Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Ask a demon. Yeah. He knows something good came out of Nazareth because not only does he know Jesus to be Jesus of Nazareth, he knows him to be the Holy One of God. Now, there is an interesting phrase. I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God. Where did that phrase, the Holy One of God, come from? Evidently, it comes from Psalm 16:10. In that psalm, Messiah says, you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in a tomb, and his body did not decay, and was not embalmed, did not decay, because you will not allow your Holy One. Who is Jehovah's Holy One? He is the Holy One of God. You see, demons not only knew Jesus, they know the scriptures. They have memorized more scripture than you and I have. Look at Satan using scripture when he tempts Jesus. He knows the scripture. So did the demons. The demons knew that the psalmist spoke of him as the Holy One of God, and that's what they called him, the Holy One of God. Jesus, or demons, knew he is the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of God. Now, our word Christ comes from the Greek, translates the Hebrew word Messiah. Messiah means anointed one. The anointed one is introduced in the second psalm, where Jehovah speaks of the Christ as my anointed one, anointed with oil of gladness more than his companions. And then he says, and you shall rule over all the earth. And the demons knew that. The demons knew that. They knew Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, that he was born, not born, but begotten by an eternal generation, begotten in old eternity by an eternal generation, and then born into the earth to rule over the nations. They knew that. They knew him as Jesus, Son of the Most High God. It's an interesting thing about a son in relation to his father. You've heard the expression, like father, like son. And there may be physical differences. A tall father may have a short son, vice versa. But there is always one aspect that cannot be changed. The son always has the father's nature. The father has a human nature, therefore the son is not a horse, nor a chicken. He's as much a man as his father from the day he's born. He's human. Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. Demons have no problem acknowledging the deity of Jesus Christ. Yea, they know him as the God-man. They know him as Jesus of Nazareth, born of a woman, having the human nature. They know him as the Son of the Most High God, having the nature of his Father. He is the God-man, and demons know it. They are convinced of it. Third, demons acknowledge Jesus as their superior. They feared him. They said, let us alone. What have we to do with you? We're minding our own business. Just leave us alone. They were afraid of him. When Jesus showed up, demons trembled. They were afraid of him. They begged him earnestly in Mark 5:10 to not send them to a faraway place. Jesus never feared demons. He walked up to them to meet them and confront them in the place where they were. He never begged them. They begged him. They begged him. They obeyed him. You read it here in our passage, Mark 1:27. For what kind of a man is this? With authority, he commands the unclean spirits, and they obeyed him. They never obeyed us. Jesus shows up and speaks, and they obey. Demons always obeyed Jesus. They never disobeyed him. They even worshiped him, Mark 3:11. And the unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. Now, unhappily, many people worship Jesus the same way demons do. They give lip service. They might even get down on their knees in a church building. and then get up and go back on their merry lives like they were before they went in. Demons worshipped him, but they did not trust in him. They did not believe in him. They did not follow him. Let it be said of us that when we worship him, we do it in reverential awe. We fear him with reverential awe. We fear him in the sense of loving him and adoring him. Demons beg of Jesus, let us beg him, save us. Save us, Lord, save us. If you do not save us, we have no hope of salvation. Let us worship him acceptably and faithfully. Fourth point, Jesus casting out demons was proof that he had established his kingdom on earth. Matthew 12:28-29. But if in the sense of since, but since I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house, which is Satan's domain, and plunder his good, that would be the souls and bodies of men, unless this one binds the strong man and then plunders his house? So what has Jesus done? In his first coming, in his incarnation, he walked up to the devil's house and did not even do the courtesy of a knock. Walked right on in. Invaded the devil's house. Found the devil and tied him up. Revelation 20. With a great chain, he tied up the devil. Then he walked through the devil's house and he said, that one's mine. You come with me. You're mine. You come with me. You're mine. You come with me. He plundered the strong man's house and the strong man could do nothing about it. Jesus did it and he says that since I do this, this shows that God's kingdom has been put here upon this earth. Some say, well, the kingdom of Christ has not yet come upon the earth. It's still some time off in the future. Jesus said, if I have plundered the devil's house, the kingdom has come. The kingdom has come. Fifth point. By the way, demons were powerless to stop him. They just had to sit there and watch while he did that. Fifth point. Jesus conquered demons in his ascension to glory. Now, let me set the background for this. Calvary, outside the wall of Jerusalem, Jesus is crucified. And in fulfillment of the prophecy, Satan has bruised his heel. The serpent has bruised the heel of Messiah. His heel is the lowest part of his humanity. Satan bit. Jesus died. The sting of sin is death. And Jesus was stung. He dies on Calvary, there on the cross. Satan thinks he's won the battle. Jesus is laid into a tomb. And the tomb has a giant stone rolled across the door. And a seal is put there. And Satan and his demons are watching. We won. Are you sure the scripture said we won? He's dead, right? But we read it, he is dead. He's in the tomb. And we cannot let him out. Do not let him out. 3 long days and 3 long nights. The devil and his demons are doing their victory dance over the tomb of Jesus. All is silent except for their victory dance. And then all of a sudden, did you hear that? Hear what? There is stirring in the tomb. Can't be. The stone is still there. There is stirring in the tomb. Is he alive? And then an angel comes down from heaven and rolls the stone away. And out steps Jesus. Out steps Jesus. Alive? Okay. Demons, do not let him get into heaven. Keep him on earth. Well, Jesus was not ready to go to heaven. He's got 40 days to walk around on this earth. And the demons are going to try to keep him from getting into heaven. But Jesus is still walking on earth. And he's with his disciples and he's with his apostles and his brethren, teaching them for 40 days. And then on the 40th day, Jesus is with his apostles. Heaven opens. A cloud appears. And Jesus begins to rise into heaven until the cloud received him out of their sight. And the disciples are wondering what's going on. Two angels, there's more up there, I'll come to that. But two angels came down and said, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you just saw go into heaven, and the cloud received him out of his sight, he's coming back. He's coming back. Now, what happens when Jesus is received in that cloud? It is described rather graphically in the 12th chapter of the Revelation of Jesus Christ in verses 7 through 9. And war broke out in heaven. Now remember, Satan and his demons, all of them, they must not let Jesus get into heaven. If we can keep him out of heaven, we're okay. And a war broke out in heaven. Michael. Now who is Michael? He's the archangel. And I'll just tell you, Michael the archangel is Jesus Christ. His name means who is like God. That's what the name Michael means. God has many angels and Jesus is the chief. Well, some say he can't be an angel. Well, you read in the Old Testament repeatedly about the angel of Jehovah. That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. The chief of all God's angels is Jesus Christ. He is Michael the archangel. Read about him in the book of Daniel. And here is Michael the archangel with the rest of the holy angels, the elect angels, and they're escorting him to heaven. And Satan says, we can't let him get there. Come, demons! And so all the demons have gathered and a great war is fought. Michael won. Michael won. The archangel, Jesus Christ, won. And he took Satan and cast him out of the heavens. You made reference to this in your message to us a few weeks ago. Cast him down to the earth. Satan no longer has access to God's throne. Jesus cast him down to the earth. He conquered demons in his ascension to glory. And having disarmed principalities and powers, Christ made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2:15. Now, what happened when he got to heaven? Oh, he's triumphant. The devil and his demons are defeated. He's in heaven. They're confined to earth. He'll come back to earth, but they can never go to heaven anymore. They're just banned from the place. Jesus now rules over demons. 1 Peter 3:22. He has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels, including demons, having been made subject to him. He's their ruler. The devil is Jesus' devil. The demons are Jesus' demons. They do what they want to do, but only if he lets them. Only if he lets them. And then, the seventh point, Jesus will be the final judge and executioner of demons. Matthew 8:29. Jesus showed up. The demons have taken over a man. He's now a demoniac. A legion of them, evidently. 6,000 or so. In control of one man. And Jesus showed up. And what did they say? Now notice what they said. Have you come to torment us before the time? Folks, that question is very weighty. Have you come to torment us before the time? They know Jesus will be their tormentor. They know that. They know he's going to come to torment them. They know there is a time that is set, predestined of God, for him to torment them. They know that. They knew that that time was not the present time when he had confronted them. Jesus, there is a time for you to torment us, but it's not now. Have you come to torment us before it's time for us to be tormented? They knew that a day of torment was coming for them. But it was not to be during the days of his incarnation. They know there are two comings of Jesus to earth. They knew that the time when he would torment them would not be during the first coming. Rather, when he comes back. When he comes back, okay, now's the time for you to torment us. And he will. He will. They will gather the nations to battle, Gog and Magog, against Jesus Christ. He will conquer them. And then he will torment them in a place that is called the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's where they're going to spend eternity. In the flame that never dies, where the soul never dies. For all eternity, the demons are going to be there. And so will many human beings. For on the final day of judgment, or the judgment at the final day, all unbelievers will be cast, we read, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I hope none of you were there on that day. We're all going to be judged. But I hope that on that day, we can have that justifying faith of which James spoke. Our works have justified us before God. And the judge says, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And they go, and who's left? All unbelievers. All unbelievers. Oh, they might have believed in God, but they never trusted in Him. Depart from me and go to the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his demons. I hope none of you are found in that place for all eternity. And if you are there, God forbid, but if you are to be found there, it is because you were no better than a demon in your conduct. No better at all. Knew the truth. Believed true things and facts and figures. But never trusted Jesus Christ and died in unbelief. I pray that before you walk out that door this day, you can say of a certainty, this one who rules the demons, I trust in him. Jesus of Nazareth has saved me from my sins. And now he protects and preserves me against all the demons of hell. Our God and our Father, bless, we pray, this word to your glory in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.